Hey, my name is Terry. I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater. I came into, I'll just give a quick kind of synopsis of how I got here. We all got here one way or another, but I lived in Texas. That's where the accent comes from. In June 18th, 1984, I stepped through the doorway to my first meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. I've been a compulsive overeater all my life. I didn't begin to put on weight until I got into college. And, I went through that. I'm not going to gain 5 more pounds. I'm not going to gain this 5 more pounds. I'm not going to gain up to this level. And I did, and I did, and I did. And I had a holiday season before that, June 1984, where I had gained 8 pounds in 3 days because I just nonstop ate. And my husband had taken a picture of me in a new dress that I had bought shortly after that holiday. And it was on slide film. For those of you who don't know what slide film is, anyway, it's when you project up on the wall. And when it came back finally, and it was projected life size up on the wall, I was ranting and raving about the stupid photo place who got other people's pictures mixed in with ours. There was only one person in the photograph. And my husband looked at me very quizzically and said, "Do you not know who that person is?" And I very honestly said at the time, "I have never seen that person before in my life." And he said, "Honey, it's you." And you've seen the cartoons where they take the frying pan and smack somebody in the face with it. And that was what I call my frying pan in the face moment. All the denial, all of the disease process just stood out, very starkly for me. And I was horrified, didn't know what to do, had never heard of OA, I tried another diet that I knew wasn't going to work, was very depressed, was just in despair, total despair. And I was watching TV one afternoon. There was no such thing as computers for those of you who are younger. I saw an ad for OA. I only ever saw that ad one time. And I saw the ad for OA on TV, and I jotted down the information and called them or wrote to them. I don't remember which. And several weeks later, I got a packet of information, including a meeting list. And a few weeks later, I walked through the door of OA, and my life was given back to me. I heard about 12 or 15 at the time, it was all women, basically telling my story. And I thought I was the only one in the entire universe who did the things that I did with food. And I couldn't figure out how these people knew everything about me. And that's how I got started. I got a sponsor. I was encouraged to do service. I put out literature. I put out chairs. I made phone calls. I began working with Intergroup. I eventually worked as part of the Intergroup as being a representative for Region 3. And I had 14 and a half years in program, moved to Europe, and didn't know anybody except my husband there. And this was before we had Zoom and all kinds of websites and everything and podcasts and all that kind of stuff. And I just was not willing to go to any length to work my program at the time. I was tired. And that little bit of resistance to going to any lengths caused me to slide out of program. So after 14 and a half years in program and in good recovery, I slid out, and it took me 10 years to get back. And someone emailed me from Texas from my former meetings, and this was in 2006, and said, something you said in a meeting really helped me. I just wanted to let you know that you got me out of a sticky situation today because of the words you had said. And I thought, I don't even remember saying those words, number one. And what I could feel was, it was like a real physical sensation of my higher power tapping me on the shoulder and saying, "Isn't it time to get back in the program?" It took me another 2 years to do that, because my disease is very cunning, baffling, and powerful. And I knew how much hard work I was going to have to do to work my steps and to surrender and to get back in the program. And I just didn't want to do it. But I walked back in the doors in June of 2008. And in June of 2009, I was still struggling with sugar's my biggest boogeyman. And I was still struggling with that. And all of a sudden, I'm in the grocery store and I'm going, I don't want to do this, because I knew what I was going to do. I was going to binge. And a voice whispered in my ear, it doesn't matter what choices you make, I'm going to love you anyway. And it's like my criticism committee got kind of pulled up short. And it's like, what? And I got home and realized when I put up the groceries that I hadn't bought any of my binge foods. And I have not had sugar since September 2009. I'm so grateful it's gone. I go to the grocery store, I don't see it. I can stand right next to the candy rack checking out. I don't see it, don't taste it, don't smell it. It just doesn't register, and I'm so grateful. Does that mean I work a perfect program? Absolutely not. So for me, what I discovered in program was there are three kinds of hunger, not one. My brain interprets everything as physical hunger, no matter what is actually going on. But there are three kinds of hunger. I have a physical hunger, which my body is supposedly telling me that there are certain nutrients I need to function and to have a healthy body. But there's also an emotional hunger, and there's a spiritual hunger. But before program, all I knew to do was throw food at all three of them. And if I throw food at emotional hunger and spiritual hunger, those two just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, because food doesn't satisfy them. And I learned in program, by working the steps, by working and living the principles of the steps and the traditions, that and having a higher power, which is the most important thing for me, I can put the appropriate foods in the appropriate places. And when I do that, the physical hunger gets real quiet. Because if I'm feeding emotional food to my emotional hunger and spiritual food to my spiritual hunger, I don't need the physical food except for when my body needs to be fueled properly. That's a huge gift of the program to me. I use the Big Book a lot. I read in the Daily Readers every day. One of the things, since I've been back in program, I've worked the steps many, many times in program. And one of the things that helped me was to start working with the principles. I've worked the steps as they're written. You know, number one, I'm powerless over food. My life is unmanageable. And I've kind of worked it in what you might call the literal sense. But when I take the principle of honesty, and so I do like a little inventory. Okay, with honesty, how well do I use the principle of honesty in my OA program, in my daily life, with my family, with people I encounter, in my job, wherever else that I'm encountering people, how honest am I? Where have I made improvements on honesty? And where am I still falling short? And so I can do that for each of the principles of the program. If you don't know where to find the principles of the program, you can go into OA.org, and there's a place you can download them. I think also just a few days ago in the Voices of Recovery, and I don't remember what the date is now, there was a whole list of the principles for both the steps and the traditions. If somebody happens to find those, speak up and let me know what the page number is. So I have gone through. The other thing I did is I look them up in the dictionary and I write down the definitions. And sometimes there's some really interesting definitions. I look at where the word came from. Sometimes the root meaning of the word has something that triggers me to look at that aspect in a little bit deeper manner. I came up with a definition of insanity that works real well for me in program. One is that I will surrender instantly, completely, totally, and absolutely to food that I don't need, don't want, and doesn't work. And I will give it 100% of my surrender, but I struggle to surrender to and food has absolutely no power to help me or fix me. But I will struggle to surrender absolutely and completely and 100% to a higher power that has all power. So trusting food absolutely, but not a higher power absolutely, is my definition of insanity. Doesn't work, still doesn't work. So there are several pages in the Big Book that really helped me out a lot. Page 366 talks about the fact that, you know, I have to discover that I am not God. Ooh, newsflash. I am not here to run the world. Number one, I'm not qualified. Number two, I don't have a skill set for that. And number three, I don't know what the hell I'm doing with my own life, much less the rest of the world. So, you know, I'd failed in running the world and in short, acceptance of the fact that I was not God. And that's one that I struggle still. My disease keeps telling me that I still have God complex here or there, and I struggle with that. Another page that's real important to me is page 451. It says the rewards of sobriety. Well, actually, it says in AA or OA, I faced the pervasive we of the 12 steps and gradually realized I can separate and protect my sobriety or abstinence from outside hazards only in as much as I rely on the sober experience of other AA or OA members and share their journey through the steps to recovery. The rewards of sobriety are bountiful and as progressive as the disease they counteract. Certainly among these rewards for me are release from the prison of uniqueness and the realization that participation in the AA or OA way of life is a blessing and a privilege beyond estimate, a blessing to live a life free from the pain and degradation of my addiction and filled with the joy of useful sober living and a privilege to grow in abstinence one day at a time and bring the message of hope as it was brought to me. That brings me a lot of hope. My recovery is progressive. Today, I don't do a lot of the things that I did when I first came into program or even what I did 5 or 10 years ago. Today, I have, I had an incident where I had an encounter, an interaction with a person that could have gotten real volatile because in the past I would have poured gasoline on the fire and it would have been really ugly. And I was able to just almost instantaneously, my brain said, the anger's piling up, it's fixing to boil over. And I was able to stop and not go through with that instantaneous knee-jerk reaction that my ego wanted to use. And I was able to say, what's my part in this? And how do I want this to turn out? And I was able to come from, I was able to set a healthy boundary. And I was able to come from a place that was more loving and kinder. And in the end, was able to kind of come to a resolution with what the situation was without shaming or blaming the other person. And also without allowing my boundaries to be overstepped either. And so it was a win-win all the way around. So those are the gifts of the program. Today, I don't eat the way I used to. Do I eat perfectly? No, I don't. And I don't think perfect abstinence is anything I'm ever going to be capable of. In fact, my sponsor says, if you eat perfectly, there's no sense in you being in OA. So perfection is not my goal. I am a compulsive eater. I'm going to have days where the food's going to call a little louder than other days. But, you know, if I look back over my time in the program, I've had wonderful recovery. I can eat healthy. When I go to the doctor and have my blood work done, it's in good ranges. In fact, my doctor's pretty impressed. My doctor has had information from me about OA and has used it with other patients. And I'm just real grateful. I'm grateful that I can wake up in the morning and be grateful. I'm grateful all day. I say thank you when I first open my eyes in the morning, and I say thank you right before I close them at night. I do my best to try to follow what I believe is the will of my higher power. Do I do that perfectly? No. My ego can really take on good disguises and sound really convincing. But it's amazing the things that happened for me. My husband retired in January of 2020, which I didn't think was the best thing to do. And 6 weeks later, his company folded. Had he not been retired and been getting his Social Security check, we'd have been on unemployment. We've been trying to get unemployment in the middle of when all this epidemic started. And everything was closed. So I'm real grateful my higher power had a better sense of timing than I did. I didn't think we could be in retirement and float a mortgage. And guess what? 2 years later, almost, we're in retirement and we're floating a mortgage. These are all things that in my mind, if I ran my agenda, weren't possible. And my higher power says, yes, it is. So my trust level in my higher power is a lot greater than it was. Does it still need work? Yes. But I'm getting to where I can see the fear and say, okay, I know I'm afraid, but you know what? We've been in this place before, and when we pushed through and just trusted, it all worked out. And so I can put on my big girl panties and suck it up and say, okay, we're going to go through this. And I'm still always amazed. I'm always amazed. And I get to meet such wonderful people. And so grateful that I don't have to walk this path alone. I cannot do it alone. I've tried twice. Well, actually more than that, but as far as OA is concerned, I've tried twice. I know I have another binge in me. I don't think I've got another recovery in me. If I slide out again, I may not get back. It was hard enough. It took me 10 years this last time. And I don't want to test that theory. It's easier for me to stay in program, work my program. However well or not I do that, it's a lot better place to be. And, you know, my life is, I'm pretty content with my life. It's a good life. And this way of living for me is far easier and greater than anything I could have accomplished any other way. And so I have to be grateful for my disease. I've learned that a lot of stuff that looks like really bad crap in my life has turned out to be some of the greatest blessings. It has brought me to places where I wouldn't have gone if I hadn't had to go through it. And so I'm real grateful to be here. I'm grateful. You know, everybody's saying COVID was so horrible. Well, I agree. You know, there are aspects of it that really are terrible, and I don't disagree with that part. But for me, it was a wonderful thing. First of all, I'm a technophobe, and I had to learn to do Zoom, and I've learned to do it pretty well. And God darn, I can go to New York, or I can go to Australia, or I can, you know, jump down to Juneau, and I don't have to buy a plane ticket. My sponsor is in Texas. I'm grateful. I've had her for probably about 20 years of my program. She was with me before I slid out. And when I came back, she agreed to be my sponsor again. And she's 82 years old. I hope I keep her for, you know, a while longer. She's a wonderful example of working the program. And I get to go to her meeting on Monday mornings. So I'm grateful for every single person in this room. And you newcomers, you are the most important people in the room. You are the whole reason why OA exists, all the newcomers. You are important. You give all of us who've been in program longer a chance to share our experience, strength, and hope, which is a service which keeps our recovery moving forward. And you get to remind us of what it's like when we first come in and how hard it is and how debilitating it is. And you also give us the opportunity to watch you grow in program and to watch the program take hold for you and watch your higher power.
And we send you a great lift. And thank you for negotiating this package that we hope to pick next week.
Well, I understand while you were running through the halls and saying, this is pretty exciting. Well done.
Excuse me. Phone number 7756 is on.
I think it's Bonnie.
Okay. It's
yeah. I turned it off.
Okay, thanks.
So anyway, newcomers, please keep coming back. We need you. You are a vital part of this program. And all of you old timers who are here, keep coming back because I need folks in the rooms. I can't recover without you. You are all critical to me in my recovery. So I'm going to close this up. So I want to hear other people share. The one last question recently that I've had to ask myself, and so I'm going to put this out here as a possible point of topic discussion when I get off here, is do I work my program as if my life depends on it? I have a disease that's often slow motion. It moves at the pace of glaciers as far as the physical effects. And it's real easy for me to think, la, 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 not a problem. I can eat this right here and it's not going to be a problem. If I was a heroin addict shooting up, I'd have an instant reaction. But a lot of times I don't with food. So just something to mull over. That's something I've been thinking about lately. And it's an important question for me. So thank you very much to Jan for asking me to be here. I'm glad she's here with us today. And I appreciate the opportunity to share my story. Thank you.